The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right. Thank you, young people. Thank you for studying and preparing and practicing. What a great blessing. Look back in your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, where the Bible says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to see something. Here Peter, if you will please, is being described, if you will, and yes, is even telling about himself as far as saying, okay, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ have obtained, it says, precious faith, says with us. So Peter is talking to those that have had the faith that they have received with him. Those that have, yes, named the name of Christ, those that have received Christ as Savior. The Bible says, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, there's a verse in the Bible, it's found in the book of Romans, where the Bible says that God has given every man a measure of faith. And so the Bible teaches here that God has given every man that measure of faith. Now, you can see, according to this, that Peter and those that have also believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, such as Peter, have received that which is salvation. Now, we understand this, that God has given every man a measure of faith, and a man can choose what he chooses, what he opts, what he desires to do with that faith. Okay, and so I'm going to get you to stand and put your Bible down, and so you're going to help me throughout this message. And so let's use Brother Butler, a fine, outstanding gentleman, but let's use him as that which is a testimony of you as an individual. Let's say that Brother Butler is not saved, okay? He's not saved, and he goes to church. He's religious, and he comes to church, and it might even be a Baptist church, but he comes to church, and he's religious. I mean, you know, he likes the singing, and he likes the preaching, and just a religious fella, but he's never been saved. Now, can I tell you that God has given him a measure of faith? Now, he can choose with that faith to do with it whatsoever he wants to, according to the Bible. There are people today that are attending religious church services, if you will please, and they choose to take their faith, and they put their faith into baptismal water, and they teach baptism regeneration. They teach that you must receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and be baptized in order to go to heaven. That's called baptism regeneration. Let's say that he chooses to go that way. All right, now that's going to be his choice. God gave him a faith, and he can take that faith and he can put it wherever he wants to, okay? But let's say that he takes that faith and he puts it in, let's say he believes that you've got to keep the commandments of God in order to be saved. And so he takes that faith and he puts it in the commandments of God in order to be saved. He works his way, or so he thinks he does, to heaven. Now, there's a couple verses in our Bible we ought to become familiar with, where the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So God said there's no way that this individual by the name of Mark Butler can be able to work his way to heaven. He can't work his way to heaven by being baptized. He can't work his way to heaven by being good. He cannot work his way to heaven by keeping some of the Ten Commandments. He cannot work his way to heaven because he believes in keeping all seven of the seven sacraments. He cannot work his way to heaven because he has an outstanding voice and he sings for Jesus. He cannot work his way to heaven because he is a very affluent, rich individual, and he gives bountiful amounts of money to the church every single week. He cannot work his way to heaven because he's a good-natured individual, because he is good to all humanity, and he is just a good old Joe, well, in his case, a good old Mark, that decides to be able to help others through life's problems, okay? No matter what he does, he cannot work his way to heaven. Now, why? Well, the Bible teaches that Jesus is speaking in John 14 in verse 6, where Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So he cannot go to heaven except only one way, and that is receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, here's what Peter is testifying. He says that there are those out there that have received the faith. There are those out there that has received, if you would please, the righteousness of God and our, notice he said our Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, so what he's saying is I got saved, and there's people I'm talking to that got saved also. All right, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through, it says, the knowledge of God, and it says, of Jesus our Lord. All right, so here's the first premise that we understand that we need to accept. First off, we need to understand, we need to acknowledge God. All right, now, by the way, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2 was written before 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 10. So first off, a person has to acknowledge God. They have to acknowledge who God is. They have to acknowledge his all, if you would please, sufficiency in being able to save a person. A person cannot save themselves. A person cannot become, if you would please, having a great relationship like a person becomes religious because they tie themselves to a religious institution. No, my dear friend, if you're saved today, you have more than religion. The Bible says here in 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 2, it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through, it says, the knowledge of God. Now, why is it that we have a society that is not obeying God? Because they do not have the knowledge of God. Why is it that people are going about doing things that they want to do in their life without submitting to that which is Christ the Savior? Because they don't have Christ the Savior as their Savior. When Jesus comes in, he changes a person from the inside out. Now, let me say it again. When Jesus comes in, he changes a person from the inside out. You become a part of the family of God. Now, notice this. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, where the Bible says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. And it says, of the Savior here, or of Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, grace and peace. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. I don't deserve to go to heaven, but because I received Christ as Savior, guess what? Where I'm going. All right? Now, because of that, I have peace. What is peace? Peace is the opposite of frustration. Peace is the opposite of unrest. What is peace? Peace is the opposite, if you would please, of that which will cause me not to have a good night's sleep. The Bible says, through the knowledge of God. Now, you may know your textbook, that's a history book, and you may know your textbook as a science book, and you may know your textbook as a, perhaps a literature book, and you may know your textbook when it comes to some other type of textbook that you are studying, but there is no book that can change a person like the Word of God. A textbook that is a science book or a history book or that which is a medical book is not going to transform a life. The only book that God ever gave that would transform a life is the Word of God. The Bible says, and watch this and be seated for just a little bit. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, according to divine power, it says, hath given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us, it says, to glory and virtue. So the Bible says, according to his divine power, not my divine power. What changed my life was not turning over a new leaf on January 1. What changed my life is the Lord Jesus Christ becoming my Savior had nothing to do with my power. I know people that says, I'm going to give up drinking, and they never do. I'm going to give up doping, and they never do. Why? Because their flesh is weak. It is difficult for them to try to do something that goes against that which is a fleshly desire. So what changes a man? There has to be somebody that's more powerful than the man. There has to be somebody that can do something greater than the man. Who is that? That is God himself. Can I tell you that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive that which is created by God the Father, yes, his only begotten Son. And when a person receives Christ as Savior, God saves them from the guttermost onto the uttermost. And it talks about his divine power. Then it mentions this. First, it mentions grace unmerited favor. Just the fact that you think that God will save you, whether you are saved or not, there is great grace that you understand that, hey, once you receive Christ as Savior, He gives you that grace. And because He gives you that grace, dear friend, you can sleep well at night. Because He gives you that grace, you don't have the fears that some people have when they face the doctor or they face the dentist or they face a tragic type of thing that has happened in their life. Why? Because as the believer, you and I can always go back to that which is the very grace of God. But it ought not to stop there, because the Bible says, we're in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, where the Bible says, through the knowledge of Him that have called on us, it says, to glory and virtue. Now, what is virtue? Virtue is purity and character. And so God says that we're supposed to understand who He is. He is the purity. He is the character. He is the one that you add, if you will, please. 2 Peter chapter 1, watch this, and I'll get right into the message. But 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, the Bible says, wherefore, it says, are given unto us exceeding great, precious promises, that it says, by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, nature, nature. So God can change your nature. When God is in you, He can change you. I watched my daddy get saved, and God changed him. I watched my older brother get saved and God changed him. I watched the time when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, and to the glory of God, hey, God changed me. The reason that we don't have revival that's taking place across our land today is because we have Christians that are living the way they want to live and nobody sees a change. Nobody sees. I mean, they can get what they're getting at a ball game. Hey, but God saved you. Let God work inside of you. Where the Bible says, be holy even as God is holy. God's children are supposed to be ambassadors for Christ. And can I say, the reason today that people do not have a thirst and a longing for and a desire to be saved is because God's children are not doing what they should do, and they're stifling the very power of God. They're stifling the very hand of God. Why? Because they have not come perhaps to the full truth that God saved them. Can I tell you, I'm so glad that I'm saved, I go to Sunday school. Can I tell you, I'm so glad that I'm saved, I go to church on Sunday morning. Can I tell you, I'm so glad I'm saved, dear friend, I go to church on Sunday night. Can I tell you, I'm so glad I'm saved, it's affected me so much, I show up for Wednesday night Bible study on a Wednesday night. Boy, I'm so glad I'm saved. I carry gospel tracts and I hand them out. Now, you say, are you saying that in order to be saved, you have to do that, or that is the natural outpour of being saved? No, I'm not talking for you. I'm talking for me. But can I tell you, I'm so glad that I'm saved. I read my Bible. I'm so glad I'm saved that I pray. I'm so glad I'm saved that I go soul winning. I'm so glad I'm saved that I preach off. I'm so glad I'm saved that I care for people. I'm so glad I'm saved, that it has changed me. And can I tell you, when it becomes real to you, you'll stop playing the religious game and you'll have the relationship that you ought to have. And church, yes, church means more to you than it did before. And yes, the Bible means more to you than it did before. And yes, praying means more to you than it did before. And yes, having good Christian friends means more to you than it ever did before. Why? Because it becomes real in your life. Bible says in verse 3, it says, through knowledge of Him, it says, that called Him, or that called us, it says, to glory and virtue. Then in verse 4, it talks about how that we are partakers of, it says, the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. But now it doesn't stop there. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. But as I speak this morning, I want you to consider this on diligently add to your faith. I think being saved is enough to go to heaven. I do not believe that just being saved is enough to enjoy the trip. I like salad. I do. I eat a salad every day. Sometimes that's all I'll eat during the day, is I'll just eat a salad. I like salad. Now you say you're crazy. Well, I'm trying to lose a little bit of weight. When I look in the mirror and I see two of me, it doesn't encourage my heart. When a teenager comes and says, you like to play basketball, I said, no, I play basketball every day. It's right here. I carry it with me everywhere I go. And so about 3 weeks ago, I started trying to lose some weight. And so normally, now if somebody invites us over, I'm kind. And boy, can I tell you, woo, I'll eat everything they got, and I'll lick the plate. But on my own, I just normally will eat one salad a day. And that's it. That's all I do. And I like carrot juice. I know some people are going to turn your nose up at that, but I got hooked on that many years ago, and so I'm back to the carrots and the apples and the juicing and all that. And I hear the staff up here saying, oh, and that's okay. They'll die at the age of 42. But when I go to a salad bar, you are? I'm sorry, we'll do it for free. You look like you're sick. Are you feeling well? When I go to a salad bar, I like to fix my salad. And can I tell, I love these salad bars where you can go and let your mind have freedom and imagination. Woo! Boy, I tell you what, when I say I eat a salad, I'm not talking about a piece of lettuce with two little pieces of carrots. Oh, no, dear friend. When I eat a salad, it's a man's salad. It's not a child's salad. It's not a teenage salad. Oh, no, friend. It's a man's salad. Amen. And I happen to be a man, and I am not confused. So when I sit down to eat a salad, I sit down to eat me a good salad. Boy, I'll put that lettuce in there. That's called laying the foundation. And then I'll just begin to add this, that, and the other. And can I tell you, friend, everything that's on that salad bar, if it's eatable, I'm going to put in that salad. And I love that ranch dressing. Don't you? Don't you? Do you like ranch dressing? Good. And I love that ranch dressing. Woo! I mean, I'll put that ranch dressing all over the place. And sometimes I'll go down here to Subway, and they have what they call chopped salad. You know what that means? That means they do all the work for you. You don't have to chew it up as much. And boy, they'll put some meat in there or whatever. They just chop that thing up. I was down there the other day, took a sewing winning partner with me, and I said, fix me a chopped salad. And that old boy, he just chopped and chopped away. There wasn't hardly anything left. He just chopped so much. But oh, that is good stuff. All right, now, I'm saying this. I have a choice to eat just the lettuce, or I can stack my salad. You have a choice of having faith only, or you can add to your faith. The more you add to your faith, the better it tastes. The more you add to your faith, the more you want to go back. See, some people get saved only, and that's it. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm just kind of telling you. But some people get saved, and that's it. They have never grown in the Lord the way that God wants them to grow in the Lord. Now, I'm going to submit something to you. Please don't hit me. But that's how come some people like church more than other people. That's how come some people like Bible preaching more than other people. That's how come some people like Christian fellowship more than other people. You know why? Because when your faith has been built the way your faith is supposed to be built, what happens then is it creates a continual thirst. The Bible says, taste of the Lord and see that he is good. All right? So what can I do to add to my faith? 2 Peter chapter 1, look at it, verse 5. The Bible says beside this, giving all diligence. Now, the word diligence means this. It means that it is a concentrated all-out effort. So God says to give all diligence. You concentrate it and you give it all your effort. The Bible says beside it says this, giving all diligence. Now, here it is. Add to your faith virtue. Now, virtue is that which God says, I want you to add to your faith. All right? Then he says this. He says, and to virtue, knowledge. So God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to add to your faith virtue. He says, I want you to add to your faith that which is purity. Other words, I want you to let the pure word of God dwell in you. I want the word of God to mean something to you. Let the word of God sharpen you. Let the word of God help you. Let the word of God cause you to live on a higher moral standard. So the Bible says here, it says to add to your faith. All right, so he's got faith. And so here he is. And now he can choose to add virtue. He can choose to add character. He can choose, if you will, please, to add that which is a purity. Pure in his prayer life and pure in his Bible reading and pure in his walk before man and before God. He can choose to add that if he wants to. But when he adds that, can I tell you, then things begin to take place and things begin to mean more. And the Bible says knowledge, all right? And so he's going to just not add virtue, but he's going to add to himself a little bit of knowledge. In other words, he has a desire to grow. He has a desire for Bible study. He has a desire to do some word studies. He has a desire to examine the scriptures. He has a desire to learn more. If you're a chemist, you're a doctor, if you're a lawyer, here's what you want to do. If you want to help people more, what do? You gain knowledge. You gain knowledge. I wouldn't want to go to a dentist that did not know how to take care of my teeth.
Right.
I would not want to go to a surgeon that did not know how to operate. I would not want to go to a counselor that did not know how to counsel. All right, so God says, hey, I've given you faith. Now, you can do with your faith anything you want to do. But these that Peter is speaking about this very hour, he's saying, these are like I am. They have received Jesus Christ as their Savior. He said, now, there are some things that you need to add to it. Hey, don't eat the salad with just the lettuce. Put some things inside of your salad. Put some things inside of your life. Put some things that will help you to be closer to God and help you to be closer to that which is the Lord and help you to be closer to that which is truth. All right? And so in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, he said, into knowledge, temperance. What is temperance? Temperance is the ability to balance. Temperance is the ability to withhold. If you were to take a baseball, if they make them today like they did when I was a young person, you peel off the outer portions of that baseball. And then you'll see that there is a string type fabric that is wrapped around. And you start pulling off all of that string. That string is what holds the baseball together. And you'll peel it all off. And you'll see in the very middle of that baseball, it's just a little round ball. And that's about it. All right? But that peeling on the outside, that cover, if you will, please, holds the string together. And the string protects the integrity of that ball. Now, can I tell you that you need to do something to protect your faith? Now, listen to me. Listen to me. All of a sudden now, the devil comes up, and the devil tries to take a fiery dart. Hold him this way. And the devil tries to take a fiery dart, and he said, I'm going to knock you out. I'm going to get you to hate Christianity. I'm going to get you to not pay attention during Bible preaching and not obey the Bible. And so he takes a fiery dart, and he throws that fiery dart towards your faith. But if your faith has virtue, and if your faith has knowledge, you have a protection that will protect your inner core faith.
Amen.
But if you do not build, see, that's why so many people get discouraged.
Right.
Now, I'm sorry, but it's true. That's why we tell young people, put your phones away and listen.
Yep.
Why? Because your phone is not going to help you to build your faith. What's going to help you to build your faith is the knowledge and the clarity and the acceptance of the Word of God. God has given you faith, and God expects you to add to your faith. He doesn't expect you just to be saved and saved only. He wants you to add something to your faith. Oh, not because he wants you to say, look who I am. No, it's not about you. It's about him, but he loves you so much. He don't want you to be ruined. He don't want you to be destroyed. He don't want you to be corrupted. He don't want you to walk around as a Christian that's saved but barely only. No, he's got a will for your life, and he wants to help you to be more like him. And so the Bible says here, says to add, it says, to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and godliness. So wait a minute now. So temperance, what is that? Again, that is the ability to balance. You know how many Christians I know that do not have a balance? You know how many Christians I know One minute they're on fire for Jesus, the next minute you can't find a fire? Yeah. You know how many Christians I know, dear beloved friend, that one day they're in control, the next day they're out of control? You know how many Christians I know that, hey, one day they're faithful to church and the next day they're not faithful to church? You know, most Christians I come across today, they don't have character for God. Now they've got character for the work. Isn't it funny? They'll stay home from church, but show up for work on Monday. What if you treated God the way you should be treating God? That means you'd probably show up for church on Sunday and skip work on Monday. We don't think that way. You know why? Because it's all about us and our needs. But what about the God of the Bible? What about the one that can answer prayer? What about the one that could help you and the one that could walk with you and the one that could help you to be all that you're supposed to be? See, we don't rely on him like we should. Right. Now, wait a minute. Might it be because we have faith only? I said this. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. The Bible said to godliness, it says, brotherly kindness. It says into brotherly kindness, charity. All right, now wait a minute. So let's just play with it a little bit. So we've got that which is purity. We got that which is character. We've added to that knowledge. That's a godly balance. Now let's add some other things. Let's add some kindness there. Kindness. Can I tell you what kindness would do? As you are to others, so others, I believe, will be more likely to be to you. Now, you can't help it if others are not right with God and they never become that way to you. You can't help how far or how close they walk to God. But there's more of a chance that if you're kind to them, they will be kind to you. It's more of a chance if you open the door for them, they'll say thank you. It's more of a chance if you try to help them that they'll try and help you. All right? And so here's what we see. It says, and to godly, it says, or to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. There's a whole list of things here. Look at it, and I'm almost done, though. And 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says, and if these things be in you and abound, says they make you that ye shall, watch it, neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, man, if you got all these things that I list, all of these things that I list, you got them all. You got all of these things that I list. He said, I'm going to show you something. He said, if you add all these things that I list to your faith, he said, I promise you, you'll never be unfruitful.
Amen. Right. That's
right. You'll never walk around saying, well, I'm lonely inside. I can't figure out why.
Right.
Everything I try doesn't give me fulfillment. I'm telling you how to get fulfillment.
Amen.
I'm telling you, if you'll take these things, you'll never be better. Somebody says, well, I'm going to leave the church because nobody's friendly to me. Oh, wait a minute. It's not the people you're having problems with. It's your relationship with God you're having problems with. If missionaries operated according to your logic, we'd have no missionaries on the mission field. If people that are being persecuted operated according to you, then they would just deny their faith immediately. See, it's not a matter, well, I'm going to go to church where I can have good feelings. No, 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 no. You go to church because that's where you learn the Bible.
Amen.
And the Bible will grow your faith, and eventually you will feel good about the faith that you've grown.
Amen.
Watch this. I'm almost done. Here it is. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says, but he that lacketh these things, here's a person lacketh these things, that's all of them. So now he lacks these things. He doesn't have virtue. He doesn't have knowledge. He doesn't have love. He doesn't have the things that we have talked about and the things shown in the Scripture. Now, here's what it says. He says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. So wait a minute, you mean to tell me you can have faith, you can be saved, and still be blind? Oh, yes, you can.
Amen.
You know why? Because that's where you stopped. Why is it that some people have more spiritual fortitude and sight than you do? It might be because they added some grace, they added some knowledge, they added some virtue, they've added some forgiveness, they've added some word of God, they've added, all right? And because of that, it's like an armor. That's why they don't get their feelings hurt.
That's right. Good. Yes, sir.
Amen. That's why they don't have a problem forgiving people that offend them.
Right. Right.
You know, because it's not about the environment that they make their decision on. It's about their relationship with God that they make their decision on. Here it is. The Bible says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know why people have a big problem with forgiveness nowadays? I'm going to tell you, because they forgot how they were forgiven. Yeah. All right, let me give you a couple of simple things. Thank you, be seated. Take the books with you. The Bible says in verse 10, I'm almost done. The Bible says this. It says, wherefore, it says, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. That's not talking about salvation. That is talking about position. Your position in Christ concerning these matters. Salvation was not once mentioned in growing your faith. All right, the Bible says, for if it says ye do these things, ye shall never, watch it, friend, ye shall never fall. He said, if you do these things, you'll never be discouraged. If you do these things, you'll never get out of the ministry. Hey, if you do these things, it doesn't matter. If the devil himself comes against you, hey, friend, it won't change you. Because your relationship is not built on man. Your relationship is built on God and Christ Jesus. And you have grown to the point and to the place where you've added to your faith. And if you add to, you say, oh, my parents, they hurt my feelings. Or it might be that you're only in faith. Oh, that Sunday school teacher, they got on my nerves. It might be because your faith is not where it should be. Or maybe your faith is where it should be, but you're not added to it. Plain salads. Oh. No salad dressing. Oh. Nothing inside. I'm not a rabbit. I like to deck it out. Give it to me, mama. Stack it high, papa. And I'll be conscience free. Because as I'm eating it, I can eat as much as I want of it. And it's not going to add to my stature. But when you take faith, and there's nothing there, doesn't have the minerals, faith, that you can add to that will help you. It doesn't have the vitamins. You're just standing all by yourself. God says, hey, you're not going to make it that way. Because somebody's going to punch you, talk bad about you. All right, let me show you something. Be honest. I'm not asking you to name anybody. I'm not going to hurt you. I just want you to be honest. If you have ever in your life been hurt by another individual, ever, maybe they didn't give you the birthday present you think you should have had, ever, maybe they parked in your parking spot that you think you deserved, ever, maybe they gave you a comb that had dandruff in it, ever, if you've ever been hurt by anybody, ever been hurt by anybody in your life? Raise your hand. Whoa, you gotta be kidding me. And you still are making it? You are still surviving? You're not mad at God? You're not bitter at the world? Now, by the way, if you want to continue to make it, you have to add to these things. So you diligently add to your faith. You diligently add to your faith the virtue. You add to your faith the knowledge. You add to your faith the responsibility of obedience. You add to your faith those things that will help you and guide you and guard you. Because if not, there is going to come a day when somebody is going to try and knock you out of the saddle. So you add faith. You have faith and you add to it virtue and the knowledge of God's word and temperance and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. And you add these things to it and it builds. Just builds. All right, watch. I'm done. Here it is. Come back. Here we go. Over here. So here's what happens. He gets faith and he adds to it. And then 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 he adds to it. And he adds to it. But one day he says, I don't want to have love and action. I don't want to have charity anymore. So he says, I think I'll get rid of that. I'm still safe. I mean, after all these other things apply. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't want to be able to have that virtue anymore. I don't want to be able to have that balance, that temperance anymore. I don't want to be able, if you will, please, to have that godliness anymore. I don't want to be able to add the word of God. I don't want, and it takes it all away. Man, when somebody comes up and they come over and they try to hurt him, he's going to feel it. He's going to bend over. Oh, it's going to hurt. But if he has all these things stored up, just all of them stored up, somebody comes over and says, and there's a reflection off. My brother, I don't know if you know what a six-pack is stomach-wise. My brother had a six-pack that was incredible. And my brother would say, come on, Mike, take your best shot. I said, Dave, I don't want to hurt you. If I take my best shot, son, I'm pushing you through the wall. He said, take your best shot. Dave, I don't want... He said, take your best shot. Now, I was a child. He was older than me. We were both childlike. So I'd rear back and I'd hit it. Boom! Just as hard as could be. I'm going to tell you why, and I'm done. You know why? That's an area of his body, probably the only one. That's the area of his body that he worked. If you will allow God to work on you, and you start building to your faith, you'll be less hurt,
right,
less disappointed,
right,
less delusioned. Your relationship with your parents will be better. Your relationship with your friends will be better. Your relationship with your God will be better. Only because you did what the Bible said to do. Now, Father, bless, we do pray. Thank you for church.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.